This is actually going to be part one of at least a two-part series. We may go further on trials, because that's what experience is. The word experience, I want you to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Paul has just explained the doctrines of justification by faith. And now he begins to talk about the application of that. Therefore, and that's in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then now verse 2 is important to understand for the next couple verses about experience and patience and hope. By whom? So through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Don't ever forget this. If you want to be able to stand through your trials and your experiences, it will be critical that you can only do that through Christ. He is the one. He's the one where you have access to God. So the power, the provision, the blessing, the peace, the supply, it all comes through our access through Jesus Christ. And he says now, verse 3, and not only so, so he's continuing the thought, but we glory in tribulations. Now, may I beg your pardon, but I think you may hear that and think that is an absolutely absurd statement. Have you ever told someone, I'm having such an awesome day. I'm glorying right now. I'm glorying. What are you glorying in? I'm glorying in my tribulations, man. I'm having such a hard time. But let me have a moment here because this is so awesome. Do we naturally glory in our tribulations? Are we like, oh, let me savor this. Oh, I've never felt this horrible before. Let me just glory in this. We don't use that phrase. But God does. Here's what he's doing in our lives through trials. We glory in tribulation, knowing. And here's the only way you are going to benefit or have the right attitude about trials is if you know this. If you acknowledge it and accept it and literally embrace it. Knowing this, that tribulation worketh patience. Trials. Trials produce patience. Patience is an interesting word. My pastor would always preach this. I've never forgotten it, and I praise God for that man sharing with me about the compound Greek word, which is translated patience. Hupomeno. Literally, the word means to remain under. You know what patience is? Patience is learning how to remain under a problem. But that's not what we want to do. Am I right? We're like Paul in Corinthians. He said, I had a thorn in the flesh. So what I did what we all did. I prayed 3 times and it would be removed from me. Now too many times we get stuck there. We don't just pray 3 times. We pray 3 times a day for 3 years. That, Lord, remove this, remove this, remove this. And too many times, our mode is, I just want to get out from under this problem. But wait a minute, that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we remain under the problem, because that's what patience is. And patience, if we can remain under and accomplish it, produces something else, which is necessary. You see, tribulation worketh patience to remain under. So next time you want to get out from under your problem, get back under there, because God wants to teach you something, because patience worketh experience, and experience hope. Now, what is experience? That's what I want to talk about today. The word experience actually came from the French. It's an old French word which came from the Latin, but it's interesting because it's the same root word as the word for experiment. Experience, experiment, both comes from the French, from the same word. And it literally means a trial, an experiment, a test. In fact, one of the words that's translated, this Greek word that's translated experience here, elsewhere in the English, is translated proof. To prove something. That's what a test is. Do you know that every trial you go through is an experiment? You know why we do experiments? to test things. Let's see what this is made of. Every experience you and I go through is a test. It's an experiment. And our whole life, folks, is filled by experiments, because that's how we grow in the Lord. Now, hopefully, the experiments that God did on you 20 years ago, if you're saved, you're going to have a different response to the same experiments that go on now, because you've grown. You've learned through experience. Experience is knowledge gained by repeated trials. That's what experience is. Knowledge gained by repeated trials. One commentator, Gill, made this very eloquent statement about this text. He said, as tribulations tend to exercise and increase patience, so patience being exercised and increased enlarges the saints' stock and fund of experience, of the love of God, the love and grace of God, of the faithfulness of God, of his power, and of our own frailty. In other words, the more you and I are tested, the more we experience trials, the more depth we have in knowing the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the supply of God, and our need for God because of our own weakness. And all this comes through trials, experiments. Look at your trials, because again, it's same idea. Look at your trials as an experiment. And God is saying, okay, how are you going to do on this experiment? You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians regarding suffering. And he wanted to communicate to them, listen, God doesn't just allow you to suffer for no purpose. You know, God doesn't just, let's see how he responds. He's doing something. And so Paul wrote to them, he said, the God of all comfort who comforts us in our tribulation. In fact, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. Why does God allow us to go through trials? He can comfort us, so we can, you know, the access into the peace and grace and power of God. When we go through trials, we tap into that. And then what we learn through our trials, through our experiment, we are now more knowledgeable, and we're able to go and tell others and comfort them by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. In other words, when you go through a trial, the only way you're going to grow from it, you know, remember, tribulation worketh patience, patience works experience, experience hope. The only way you're going to grow from it is if you respond properly. One man wrote this, an author that I like. He said, having done many stupid things, I don't trust myself like I did when I was young and I knew everything. That was me. He said, I've gotten dumber with the years. I am known to say I don't know more often than I did just after I graduated from college. How can somebody get dumber over the years? How do you get dumber? By experience. You see, when you and I go through experiments, trials, testing to prove, we learn more and more that we are weak and he is strong. At least that's what he wants us to learn. Some things can only be learned by experience. Some things people will not learn except by experience. I remember talking to Jane about her blindness. She was born blind. Don't you thank God for Jane? And I've asked her this. She said this to me twice. And I said, what's it like? I wanted to know, what's it like to be blind? She said, actually, I don't know what it's like not to be blind. So that's all. That's the only experience I have. So you're asking me something that I can't tell you what it's like to be blind because I don't know. I don't have the experience of what it is to have sight.
Wow.
Keep that in mind next time you think there's nothing you have to be thankful for. If you have sight, praise God. A dear friend of mine, Pastor Phil Gingrey from Bible Baptist in Westchester, has 300 kids, I think. No, he doesn't. I'm just kidding. He has a bunch of kids, and the first six or seven were boys. And then he had a girl, Sarah. Or was it Sarah Mayer? Yeah, Sarah. And my wife went up to Sarah one time and said, "Sarah, how do you like being the only girl?" And Sarah said, she said, "I like it." And she goes, "Actually, that's all I've ever known." Good thing. You know, you don't think about it. Our experiences can define us if we allow them to. Here's the thing. You and I have to learn. If we don't learn an experience is an experiment to test where we're at. And it's supposed to grow us. That's why tribulation works patience. Stay under. Patience will work experience, and then experience hope. The more experience you have, the more you can face a trial with hope and courage. It reminds me of this is a pretty poor joke, I guess. Two men went into a bar. They were talking. They're watching the evening news. 11 o'clock news. And there was the news was cutting to a guy that was on the top on the 10th floor of a building, and he was threatening to jump off. And the one guy said to the other guys, he said, $10 says that guy's not going to jump. Guy says, "You're on." They watch the news. The guy jumps. So the loser hands over the $10, and the guy says, and the guy that won says, "No, I can't take that from you. I saw the 6 o'clock news, and I saw what would happen." And the other guy goes, "That's okay, because I saw the 6 o'clock news too, but I didn't think he'd jump again." You see, experience, I know that was a dumb joke, but it gets the point across. Why does God allow us to go through things? You know, you watch a news report, you think, okay, you know what's going to happen. That will equip you now. You'll know something more that will help you in the future. But if you and I are not learning and God is not teaching us, he teaches us through experience. But it's our access into Christ that enables us to respond properly, or we're not going to have patience, we're not going to remain under it, and we're not going to grow. Our experience isn't going to produce hope. Why is experience helpful? I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. There are three verses in our English King James Bible where the word experience is used. Now, by the way, the Greek word that is translated experience is used also translated in other different words. So there's a lot of other translations where the English will have the word experience a lot more, and it is appropriate at many times. We're just going to look at the ones today in our English text. The one is Romans chapter 5, verse 4, the one we started. The next one is Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 16. Look what Solomon says in verse 16. He says, "I communed with my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge." So Solomon is saying that I have grown, I have learned through my experiences. And his experiences were with something that you and I know very little about in the way that he did. Remember what God did for Solomon? God gave Solomon wisdom. He was wiser than any other man. And so there was something very unusual. Solomon got to experience a level of wisdom which we know nothing about, and it was all from God. Pretend you're Solomon for a minute. Can you imagine being Solomon? You've got the Queen of Sheba coming to you. You've got people from all over the world coming to you and asking you questions. And out of your mouth spews insights, wisdom, divine perspective, unlike anyone. I can you imagine being Solomon? Remember where this came from, folks. Here's the Queen of Sheba. She throws a question at Solomon. And all of a sudden, I imagine it being like this. Queen of Sheba comes and she says, Solomon, I'm curious about this. And Solomon goes, well, let me tell you. And he begins to expand. And as he's talking, he's like, I cannot believe these things are coming out of my mouth. Whoa, that's brilliant. You ever say something came out of your mouth and you don't know where it came from and you're like, whoa, that was brilliant. And maybe someone even said, where did you come up with that? You know, I don't know. It just came out. You ever do that? I've done that once before. But you know, that must have been like Solomon all the time. It's like, whoa, where did I come out with that? That's incredible. Because it was wisdom from God. He had experience. He was proven all these different things and he grew. He learned from that. He learned from experience. One of the words in the English, in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 13, and Philippians chapter 2, uses the same Greek word for the word the word experience in Romans chapter 5 and verse 4. But it's translated differently. And they're all referring to the people knowing something about somebody else. Let me read them to you. 2 Corinthians 2, 9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So he's writing because he wants to find out how they're responding to life, how their experiences, what is it revealing in them? By the way, folks, the way people respond to the trials of life reveals so much about their character. In fact, forget which translation, translates a word in the King James where the word experience is used, and it actually translates a character, and it's not a bad translation of that word. Character. That's what experience is supposed to bring. Character. Paul said this. And by the way, there's a phrase that is often associated with your experiences. Here's what you say. When you have an experience that has taught you something, here's what you'll say. I have learned. That says you learned something. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. In other words, Paul didn't used to have this knowledge, but he learned. He said, in fact, he goes on, I said, I know how to be abased. That means to be brought low. So there were times in Paul's life where Paul was brought very low. And you know what Paul did? He remained under that trial when he was low so that he could get experience. I've learned when I'm low, I've learned how to be content. Whether I'm abased or whether I abound, things are going great. God's taught me to be content, whether things are good or bad. He goes on, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here's what he learned. Remember the access that Paul talked about in Romans 5? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So when you go through your trials, you can go it alone. And how many times do we do that? We don't pray. We don't look to the Bible. We got this. So we don't learn anything. Oh, sure, we have great experience under our belt. Oh, I know how to grieve. I know how to go through this because I've done it 500 times. Doesn't mean anything. You haven't learned anything just because you've gone through something. A lot of people go through great heartache and they never learn a thing. God wants us to learn through our trials. And the only way to do that, in fact, when I studied this word out for experience, experiment, proof, trial, another concept in the scripture kept coming up because it's really the same thing. And it's this idea of discipleship. And there's a word that keeps coming up with it. And it's the word I mentioned earlier, the word practice. can't learn anything if you've not practiced something, right? You ever hear someone take up an instrument for the first time and then play it? Beautiful, isn't it? No, they need to practice a lot. I remember my brother. I was born in Drexel Hill before we moved out to Westchester. We went to St. Andrew's Church in Drexel Hill, and my brother was an altar boy there, and he took piano lessons. And he said the nun gave him a cardboard keyboard. It's just a piece of cardboard with the, you know, picture on it of the keys. And because we couldn't afford a piano. And so he would practice by playing on a cardboard piano. Now, how much benefit do you think that's going to do? You know, you learn the fingerings. But folks, I want to tell you something. If you want to learn to play the piano, you actually have to get on the piano. Because if you're hitting a wrong note, you don't know. And my brother talks about that. Like, can you imagine that? Just a cardboard thing. Okay, go home and practice. All right, I'll push, you know, press my hands here. I have no idea if it's right or wrong. Because you need to get feedback when you practice. You need to get feedback if you're doing something wrong. You need to, you know, trial and effect. And folks, that's the Christian life. Don't forget that. If you make mistakes, you sin, you fail God, you do something wrong. Don't despair, say, all is lost, I'm a loser, I'll never learn anything. Folks, the Christian life is learning through practice. We are practicing Christians. And it's okay to practice. It's okay to fail. Have you ever failed? We all have, haven't we? How are you gonna learn from experience unless you fall? That's why I love Proverbs. It says, a just man only falls one time. Oh, no, wait a minute. I think I'm misquoting that. It says, the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You say, but Pastor, I've made way more than seven mistakes. That's not the point. The point is we fall and we get back up again. We're not perfect. But folks, in this Christian life, this whole thing of discipleship, it's all our experiences. Trials. That's how he's growing us. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He brings trials. It's an experiment. Grow, learn from it. But now the caveat. Some things you can only learn by experience. Some people will only learn by experience. But that does not mean that experience is the greatest teacher. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And while you're going there, I want to read to you the third verse. There's three verses I shared in our English authorized version that use the word experience. And I'm actually going backwards. From the last to the first. And the very first time the word experience is used is in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. Let me read that to you. And Laban said unto Jacob, I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now Jacob had lived with Laban for 14 years. And even he demonstrated himself to be a man of integrity, even though Laban was not. And Laban, by watching Jacob for 14 years, said, you know what? I've learned by experience that God has blessed me only because of you. How did he learn that? Over 14 years, he watched Jacob have integrity. He told Laban, I will serve 7 years if I can have your daughter's hand in marriage. And Laban said, absolutely. And he served 7 years. And Laban pulled a switcheroo. Oh, different daughter. What? He loved his future wife so much, he said, all right, I'll serve you for 7 more years. And he did. And as Laban observed that, he goes, oh, you know what? God is blessing me because of you. By the way, that's the same reason that Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. Some things you can only learn by experience, but here's the key. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is why I want to submit to you that your experiences are not everything. Your experiences have to be sifted through the colander, if you will, of God's Word. Because sometimes our experiences can be deceptive. Remember I mentioned to you, 1 Timothy 4? You know, I latched onto that verse, and I probably used it as a weapon. Don't you dare think around me. I know I'm a young whippersnapper of a pastor, 27 years old. Don't think around me, because look what the Bible says. Don't despise his youth. And I'm using it to point at other people. But what was it? And that was because of my experience. And it was only when the light of God's word came through to me that I realized, wait a minute. God's actually shining the light on me. Here's the example. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look what Paul says. Peter says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, Peter's going to talk about an experience that he had that none of us can come close to, I assure you. Peter was there, we read about it in Matthew chapter 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's hanging out with Peter, James, or Jesus, James and John. And there's Jesus, just looking like a normal Jewish man, just like the other guys. And they're on the Mount, and all of a sudden, Jesus' form, he's transformed, transfigured. And the veil that had been on him as the God-man was revealed and exposed just for a few minutes. And as I mentioned recently in the incarnation messages, the miracle wasn't that he allowed the veil to come off and see his glory. The miracle was every single day Jesus looked like just a normal man when he was really God in the flesh. Peter saw that. He said, "We're not following cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We experienced it." Look at verse 17. He's mentioning now again that Mount of Transfiguration experience in Matthew 17. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory." By the way, notice the attention. He doesn't say, "I experienced this. Listen to what I got to see." This whole experience was that God gave something to Jesus. Jesus received, again, verse 17. "He," Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Peter could have easily made this about himself. "I have an experience that you don't have. I got to be on the mountain, and you didn't." He could have done that. By the way, remember that statement. You and I are not the center of the redemption story. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about Mary. It's not about the disciples. And it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 18, 2 Peter 1, "This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." So he's talking about this experience. And it was great. There was nothing to like, you know, there was nothing ordinary about this experience. I would have loved to have been there, wouldn't you? But now's where he says this. And this is where you and I learn, or we should learn. It's not all about what you've experienced. Look what he says, verse 19. "We also have a more sure word of prophecy." We have something more reliable, more certain, more helpful than what? Than a real experience. But people say, "But you don't know, I experienced it. It is so real to me." Good. Make sure you interpret your experiences through the light of God's word. Because, folks, we can be deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We can take a verse like 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, and we can use it as a weapon instead of taking it and using it the way it was intended. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What could be more sure? Whereunto, Peter says, you do well to take heed. What is that? Then he goes and talks about the scriptures, God's word. See, it's important that we sift everything. All of our experiences have to be sifted through the word of God. And that's the way we're going to truly learn, by our experiences. You know, one of the things to me that shows this point, that God's word is more certain than our experiences, is this. Sometimes people will say, well, you don't know what I'd have been through. And there's truth to that. Remember what I said in Corinthians? The God of all comfort comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others by the comfort wherewith we are comforted ourselves. There are some things, folks, that experience will give you the opportunity to minister to others. But that does not ever negate the word of God. Some people, and this is true, it was true of me. When I was a pastor, I was 26, 27 years old, had no kids for years. But I preached on raising children. Did I preach from experience? Did I have any experience? Nope. Preach theory. And I came down. In fact, I made some pretty dogmatic claims. Like, boom, man, this is, hey, you parents, you better get in order, man. This is how you do it, you know? And I had kids. I'm like, oh. Now, did that change the word at all? No. But it changed me. We collected over a long period of time audio cassettes of the sermons that I preached over there. You may get it. No, I threw them all in the dumpster. Because it's like, I said so many things back then that somebody could use against me, and that I'm like, no, you know what? Throw it out. I'm so glad that it's not all online on sermon audio. I probably would have deleted them all. Because there are some things, folks, that I said very dogmatically and authoritatively that I'm like, oh. Never mind. But some people have exalted experience above everything else. I'll give you an example. The Apostle Paul gives advice on marriage. Guess who was never married? Paul. Can you imagine someone in Paul's day? Well, wait a minute, Paul. Excuse me, how old are you? And you've never been married, right? And you're going to give me advice on marriage? I don't think so. But wait a minute. Paul, when he was writing in, like, for example, Ephesians chapter 5 about husbands and wives, should we dismiss the Apostle Paul because he didn't have experience? No, because God used him to communicate his revelation. That's different than some of my spoutings when I was a young pastor, when I made decrees about different things, totally speaking out of ignorance. But if I spoke in harmony with the word of God, for example, I'm sure when I preached on children, before I had children, I'm sure I preached, I think it's Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If I said it that way and I presented it that way, I wasn't wrong, right? Because that's what God says. See, it's important that you and I make a distinction between the word of God, because that's how God's communicated to us, and that's why we have to sift all our experiences through Scripture. I close with this. I mentioned, speaking about law and medicine, and I've done a word search on the word practice. Because why do they call it practicing? Has that ever disturbed you? That somebody that could operate on your brain is practicing medicine? Somebody that is, facing a judge in a lawsuit, a this important case, and he's practicing? The word practice, again, has the similar roots to experience. And the word practice literally means, it's one of the definitions has to do with someone's profession carried out over years. So it's actually the word practice shows you that they are equipped in what they're doing. I read the story from, it came out in the news in 2015. Listen to what the title of the article, of the news article. Sociopath neurosurgeon accused of intentionally botching operations. Maybe you heard the story of Christopher Dunch. Was a promising young neurosurgeon who in 2010 went to some hospitals practicing in Dallas. Then he hopped from hospital to hospital. And he was an officially certified neurosurgeon that did surgery on people. And all other doctors that worked with him said he was the worst surgeon I've ever seen. Another doctor that he knew said he just had no recognition of proper anatomy. He had no idea what he was doing. Would you like to be operated on by Christopher Dutch? No. Because he doesn't have experience. Well, no, there's a little more than that. It's not just, he had training. He had experience. He worked on a lot of people. But he was a sociopath. In fact, he even said in an email from December 11, 2011, he said to someone, "I'm ready to leave the love and kindness and goodness and patience that I mix with everything else that I am and become a cold-blooded killer." This guy had some issues. So here's the thing. Experience is something that God wants to use in our life day after day after day. It's an experiment. Trials. And you and I are going to go through them. And here's the key. We have to grow. So here's what I want to ask you. Are you a practicing Christian? Are you? In other words, you're walking the Christian life. You're viewing trials that way. You're not looking at every trial as, "God, why are you doing this to me? I'm quitting this Christianity thing." You're quitting on God, and the way he does it is he uses trials. He's bringing these trials because he's molding you to become like Jesus Christ. You're a work in progress. Remember that? We are his workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. So I want to ask you, first of all, are you a practicing Christian? That means you're going through trials, but you're submitting to them. You're not quitting on God every time a trial comes. Well, where's God? He's right there. He's working in you. He's trying to grow you. Understand that. Stay under. Patience. Remember, patience worketh experience. And the more experience you get, the more, what's going to come after that? Hope. Faith. Hope and faith, the same Greek word there. Faith, that's what he's doing. He's growing your faith. And so you should be in a different place today than you were 5 years ago. And 5 years from now, you should be in a different place than you are right now. But only if you're allowing those trials, those experiences, to grow you closer to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the trials that you put in our life, the experiences that we go through that teach us without you we can do nothing, that teach us that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, that teach us that you never allow anything in our lives without a specific purpose in growing us and molding us. So, Father, let us view our tribulations differently than we did before. Help us to understand that our trials are not unfortunate, unpurposed things that randomly happen to us, but it is the result of a loving Heavenly Father who is growing us so that we can be useful and be a blessing to others because of our experiences. So Lord, help us. Help us to respond properly to each and every trial. Help us to grow for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's take out our hymn books and stand.